Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The fact that Myles Garrett stripped the man of his helmet and then used the helmet as a weapon, Max, we're talking about a guy who could have been seriously injured or potentially killed in this particular situation with a weapon. Why are you rolling your eyes at me saying this? We're talking about a 6'5", 270-pound man, okay, whose adrenaline's at an all-time high, and if he used the crown of the helmet, who knows what could have happened? I don't understand. Why would you roll your eyes at that with me saying that?
That's Damian Woody. He was hot and bothered this morning.
Yeah, Max Letterman's rolling his eyes, Damian, because nothing really happened. Mason Rudolph's fine. We get it. It could have been worse. And if it was worse, I would understand you being that outraged. But nothing happened. He probably had a headache. That's it. So he got indefinitely suspended, and rightfully so. And that's it. So enough with the moral outrage, like, on this. Like, why are you rolling your eyes at me? How dare you? How dare you? Jimmy, bring me up one more time. How dare you?
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Never in my life would I say I actually agree with Max Letterman, but I do in this case. Like, he should roll his eyes at him. Like, enough, please. Jesus.
So look,
people have lost their minds with this.
I think the outrage would be justified if the league went light on him, you know, and the punishment didn't fit the crime or whatever. He's being suspended the longest amount in the history of the game. So what? It is a precedent-setting suspension.
Yeah, he did the right thing. What else do you want?
So, like, I mean, again, so what? I mean, I think that's probably what it deserved. And, but not just that, it is record-setting. It's the longest suspension in the history of the league. So what else do we want? What else do you need?
Yeah,
I really don't believe in, unless you really hurt someone, is, you know, not being allowed to make a mistake. And so, and that doesn't mean that the mistake goes unpunished, but, you know, you should be able to come back from it. Okay, if it's a one-off thing and the other guy's okay and you've served your time and the punishment has come down and you've accepted the punishment, now what? Like, is he dead to you for life? It never should be, lose his livelihood. I mean, so what do you want?
See, I think a lot of this, and again, now I'm stereotyping, which is always dangerous, but I think a lot of this comes from non-sports people. And they think the game's barbaric to begin with, and they never connect on it. And so maybe I'm an idiot for thinking that. But I will say, because I think that for the most part, the league got it right. If they told me a half season, fine. I could live with that. Like, eight, you know, again, spills into two games next year, and it's a clean 8 games. They define that as a half season. Fine. Whatever. Like, I'm not going to... He shouldn't play again this year, for sure. The 2 games into next year, I'm not going to fight over, because I think they hit him pretty hard. Okay? He's lucky he didn't hurt the guy. Again, in the NHL suspensions, Mike, when they do those videos, they always say the player was not injured, or the player was injured.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So they factor that in. And again, it doesn't mean it's right. It should, all that should matter is the intent of the act. That's it. Whether you succeeded or not should not matter.
But it does.
But it does. And so he's lucky he didn't hurt Rudolph.
All right, we continue with your thoughts on this and anything you want, because it is Agenda Free Friday. We are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Justin in Shrewsbury, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Justin.
Hi, guys. Thank you. Did you see Freddie Kitchens and Mike Tomlin, like, in midfield when they're trying to figure it out?
Yes.
He looked like an idiot. Like, Tomlin had, like, his helmet on, like, his headset on, still talking to people and stuff, and Kitchens just running around with his head up his ass, like, what's going on? He's all pissed.
No, but Maz is right, Justin. Did you have something else quickly?
Yeah, quick question. What if, like, Tomlin didn't want to finish the game and just, like, took his team off the field even though there was 8 seconds left? Like, what would happen in that case?
Yeah, I don't know. Does it really, why would he do that? I mean, the only reason you would do that is if they didn't throw Garrett out of the game. You know, we're not going to play as long as he's still on the field. Like, that I get. But they threw him out of the game. So what, you know, the refs did the right thing. The league's done the right thing. What are the Steelers, I mean, we're going to pick at the NFL offices now? They gave him the longest suspension in the history of the game. They kicked him out of the game. What do you want? You know, so I'm glad the Steelers haven't gone overboard. You know, and especially them, the Steelers. Give me a break. And the only thing was to be like the Raiders. You know, saying dirty play. Give me a break. So, you know, I don't feel like they're going overboard with the moral high ground either. What's the first thing that he said?
About Freddie Kitchens.
You were right to tie this all together.
He's got
to
go.
The whole thing's out of control.
He's got to go. They've been out of control all year long. It's getting worse. He's got to go. Freddie Kitchens is done. And you know what? This is, and I don't know that the league can do anything to Freddie Kitchens. They can fine him. You know, as the coach, he can suspend him.
No,
it's the owner.
I had it right. You have an intervention.
I mean, but, you know, I don't know.
You have to intervene and get to the owner and say, Jimmy Haslam, we can't have this. We can't have this guy in the league. Your team's too good. You're hurting people now, and the thing's out of control. We have to step in.
I mean, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I'm calling the guy in today and going, Freddie, you're done. That's it. We're done here. Someone else is coaching the team the rest of the year because this is a renegade band of outlaws. That's what this is. This team's out of control. And I started to feel that way before this with the hits on the field. That hit that receiver took, that was vicious.
Brutal.
That was a vicious, and I'm not talking about the Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm talking about Deontay Johnson, that left him bleeding from his ear. That was vicious. That's a team out of control.
Agenda Free Friday, everything on the board. Cam and Taunton wants a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Cam.
Maz, why are the Red Sox still holding on to this pipe dream with Pejoy? They said it again earlier this week. Oh, we expect him to play in 2020. Before this year started, Dombrowski was saying, oh, we expect him to play 120 games. Like, why can they just not accept the reality that this guy's career is over? Why are they still holding on to this thing?
So, Cam, I think they're lying. I don't know why. I think they're lying. I think they're, I don't know, maybe they're giving the appearance they don't need a second baseman, or they're trying to justify keeping the, you know, I mean, the money's on the payroll either way. So they're going to be under the luxury tax. Pedroia's going to count. So they want to say, well, we thought he could play. I don't know what it is. There is no way in their right minds they think this guy's playing again. I mean, look, I get on the Red Sox for a lot of things. Okay. I've never said they are they're stupid. I've never said they're stupid. They do stupid things, but they're not stupid people.
Martin on the Cape, what do you got for us?
Hey, Murray, by today's fluffy standards, what do you think fines and punishment and outcry would be for three Bruins going into the stands and beating a fan with his own shoe?
Oh, my God. Life in prison.
Can you imagine? I think there was less public outrage when Tyson bit Holyfield's earlobe off. I think I heard less than this. It's unbelievable.
Did those guys in the Bruins get charged?
You know, I'm not even sure. Let's Google it quickly. I can't even remember.
They might have.
But go ahead, Martin. Is that it?
That's about all I got, Mike. I just can't believe the hue and cry over this.
Yeah, see, the thing is...
Yeah, Mike Milbury would be drawn and quartered in 2019 for beating a fan with his own shoe. God, I love that video.
This is a heinous act.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is egregious. It was vicious. It's unacceptable. It just happens to time out with the most socially sensitive and politically correct and, you know...
The dumbest time to be alive.
The dumbest time ever to be alive. And those two things have met. And that's what makes it outrageous. You know, we just can't keep our heads and say egregious, unacceptable, and, you know, that's that. It's like we've got to take it to this next level of outrage. And if you're not there, you're some sort of barbarian, which is annoying.
Oh, God, it's absurd. Again, absurd. Now, and I keep coming back to the consequence of the act. Okay? If it had ended differently, I'd probably feel differently. Because, there's, you know, we just react that way. You see it, and once you see it, if there's a bad injury, you're like, someone's paying for that.
So was O'Reilly in there, too? Milbury,
yep.
O'Reilly?
McNabb
and
was
McNabb.
The other one.
Did they get charged?
So I haven't found I pulled up the story, but I haven't read it yet. I might have to wait till the break.
They
climbed into the crowd. I mean, it's borderline comical.
Oh, no. So we laugh at that.
That's one of the great videos of all time.
We love it, but it's freaking ridiculous. It's freaking ridiculous. You know, did Ron Artest get charged?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
Yeah, because I know there's, you know, and this again, I'm going to be picketed, but there's part of me, there's part of people who think that if you chuck something at a player on the field, well, you're asking for it. Like, I mean, you know, the player has a right to quote unquote defend himself, or if you're going to be that stupid to throw a full beer can or a beer or a glass of water or something at our test, then you're sort of, you know, you enter the arena yourself, pal. Or if you're going to chuck keys at the Bruins as they're skating off the ice, I can't remember what they threw.
I think that's right. I think it was keys.
It was a set of keys or something. Someone got hit with keys, and it's like, well, you know, if you're going to if you're dumb enough to throw a keychain at Terry O'Reilly, then what do you think's going to happen, you idiot?
Yeah, all those players in the Malice at the Palace charged with assault and eventually sentenced to a year of probation and community service.
Okay, so the guy at the the shame of the thing at the, and I'm laugh, I shouldn't be, but the thing at the Malice at the Palace, I think they got the wrong guy. It was just some poor squirrely white dude there. He's like, what? No, no, not me. And he got pummeled. I think they might have gotten the right guy in Madison Square Garden. I can't remember. But if you chuck a keychain at Terry O'Reilly, what do you think is going to happen there?
I mean, I'm chuckling about it, okay, because it was so long ago. A lot of people don't even know what we're talking about. Three Bruins players literally climbed the boards.
Was it 78?
79, I think. They climbed the boards and went into the crowd and started beating this guy with his shoe.
Just Google it. It was Milbury.
With his shoe.
It was Milbury. He got the guy. The guy sort of turtled, and he grabbed his shoe and then started beating him with it.
You know what? Someday, I'm going to ask him about that, just to hear him tell the story. Like, I laugh now. It's not funny. I mean, it's like, what are they doing?
No, it's funny.
As Murray says, the video of it is like, holy crap, they climbed the glass.
Okay, so those are... That's different. Now, I think some people are saying Mason Rudolph asked for it because he tried to rip off
he
Miles Garrett's
helmet.
So that's not asking for it. I'm okay with Miles Garrett then ripping his helmet off. Like, and they both deserve penalties, or maybe both deserve to get ejected. Like, we're fine up until that point. You're going to try and rip off my helmet? All right, Liam, well, let's play that game, Mason. Here you go. Whoop. And you take his off. No problem. No problem there. You're now not allowed to club the guy over the head with it.
I mean, that's the thing. That was it. Once it reached that, it was like, that's it. You're done. You're done. And so, and I immediately went to Kitchens too. I'm sure a lot of people reacted this way. Obviously, the media did last night. So Garrett's been addressed. Now what about the coach? Because what they have fostered there is an environment of recklessness that is out of control.
Here's your giveaway. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, which is 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to WWE Raw coming to the Garden on the 18th of November. Don't miss Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com and the Garden box office. Sosie, next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Sosie. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's time for Hot Sports Takes.
With here we go, Bob. People are hot.
Yeah!
Oh, and believe me when I tell you, he's coming in really hot today.
Sosie's heating up. It's now time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Sosie, the voice of the New England Patriots. It's brought to you by Coors Light, the official beer of football Sundays. Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, Maz, made to chill.
Smoking Bob Sosie, sizzling Bob Sosie with his hot takes.
What's up? Roberto, how you doing? You usually come in here with a problem with one of us. Today, I think it's Jim Murray. Go ahead, state your case.
It started in the email chain.
Yeah, well, really. Did it ever? Oh, holy crap! I tried to type, my fingers
burned. I restrained
burned.
Myself on Twitter, buddy. I have seen and I have heard Big Jim's reaction to the Myles Garrett assault on Mason Rudolph, and you could take it from me and the other Knights of the Keyboard or the Crusaders of Sanctimony on the airwaves. But I would say consider the outrage from the guys on the field, including his own teammates, immediately after the game. Or you could take the word of Kyle Juszczyk. He's no softy, that fullback for the San Francisco 49ers, who immediately tweeted out that Myles Garrett should not be allowed to play another snap this season. Now, speaking of the 49ers, and considering Jim's take on the situation, Mason Rudolph got a headache. No harm. Yeah, no real harm. Just a little foul. I want to recreate the scene, if I can.
Okay, yeah, let's recreate it, Bobby. What do we got?
And I think there's an added symbolism to this because on behalf of my Italian friend, quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, I have a San Francisco 49ers helmet.
Is that Maz's?
Be careful with that helmet, Bob. That thing's worth great value to me.
Maz, I'll treat it gently after I whack Jim in the side of the
head. Clobber me over the head with
it. Seriously. And this is a replica. This is not the real deal. And I'm 5'7".
Just leave it at that.
I don't know what kind of torque I could generate, but I'm sure it pales in comparison to Myles Garrett. I mean, he's lucky.
Yeah.
He's lucky to be. I mean, it could have done worse than seriously injured him. Rudy Tomjanovich ran into the fist of Kermit Washington and nearly died as a result of that injury on the basketball court. I mean, there's a difference between Sean Thornton dropping the gloves, as you guys have talked about, and Dino Cicerelli doing what he did. There's a difference in baseball between Offerman or Juan Marichal and John Roseboro, and a batter charging the mound in case of Robin Ventura getting his tail whipped by Nolan Ryan. What happened last night? I mean, it goes beyond egregious. And the one issue I do have in all seriousness is that, look, the political correctness does run amok, and it defies common sense a lot of the time. But let's not confuse PC for what's right versus what's wrong. And just sheer common decency and the sense of good judgment. I mean, Myles Garrett, I'm glad the league suspended him for the length of time that it did, because he deserves it. He deserves it, and Ronda deserves at a time as well.
Okay, so
The outcome, to me, is why, the outcome dictates the reaction from people, to me. And, yeah, the suspension's correct, and what Myles Garrett did was terrible. In the moment, I was like, oh, crap. But, Rudolph's fine. So if something worse happened, if something worse happened, then I'd be right there with you. So, I just think people have lost their minds in terms of the reaction after the fact. It was bad. He got suspended. The rightful thing happened to Myles Garrett. But some of the reaction, even now, saying there should be criminal charges and so on and so forth and things like that. Like, that to me is crazy, Bob.
I don't want to run far afield and start to get into attempted crimes versus the result of
sure. It's about intent, Bob.
Crime.
Yeah, but the reality is the result affects our judgment.
I think Mason Rudolph should not press charges. He's okay. Exhale. Be thankful, which I'm sure he is. I'm sure his family is. I'm sure his teammates are. Nonetheless, I think in a situation like that, we have a right to get on a high horse in that moment and cast that kind of judgment on that player for actions like that. I mean, we go back a couple of years ago. I'm still upset at myself because I wasn't a little bit harder in the moment as the Patriots broadcaster and what Gronk did in Buffalo with Tre'Davious White. I said it at the time. I said in the moment during the play that it was wrong. And he would love to have that back. There's no excuse for it.
Meanwhile, Zoe was giving Gronk a standing ovation. I remember that.
After the fact, thinking about it on this show and on Touch of Rich, I mean, I think that, and I'm sure you guys were playing the call, the Cleveland announcers and the Pittsburgh broadcasters. And I have to say, in their defense, working in radio booths around the league, we're lucky in ours because we have multiple monitors with feeds from the television truck. Those guys may not have had a replay monitor in their booth. And also, you're looking across the field, the play is taking place. Generally, by the time, as the play-by-play guy, your attention is diverted back to something that's taking place after the play. you don't see the beginning of it until you get a chance later on. So those guys may not have known. I know you guys were playing the call a bit earlier. I just want to say that.
So Bob, what
defensive Jim Donovan?
What should the punishment be?
Well, I think they got it right. I mean, I think it should be the length of the season and then reevaluate in the offseason. But I think he's got to go.
Okay, so to me, like the outrage, so like good. There's common ground there. Like it's the longest suspension in the history of the league.
Yep.
So that's the appropriate response, and it was quick. It was it was by lunch today. He was suspended for the rest of the year, the longest suspension in the history of the league. So. You know, what more do we want now?
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, are we going to ruin the guy? Are we going to?
No.
I mean, so that's that. The punishment fits the crime, I think, unless people think he deserves more. And, no. And if you think he deserves more, I want to hear why. He deserves more than the longest suspension in the history of the league.
And let me just say, by the way, the email chain was generated and my reaction was cultivated before the ruling came down. So.
There's a lot of fun.
By the way, let me just say this, too, as I have often said about Tony Maz. Off the air, he's really a great guy. When it comes to Big Jim Murray,
you're ruining it, Bob.
He's really a great guy.
Well, thanks, Bob.
Now, even though we might disagree about in the moment last night on Twitter and in the email chain today.
Now, all that said, do you have a preferred breed? Do you want like a golden retriever or a boxer or a Vizsla? What kind of therapy dog can I send to the Soce house?
Soce, give me a couple minutes on the Eagles. Give me the key to the game here on Sunday in Philadelphia.
Well, I think the Jordan Howard injury is significant because one of the things Philadelphia has done well the last couple of games versus Buffalo and Chicago is run the ball well. And I don't, their receiving core is a mess right now. I mean, they have a lot of the guys that, you know, we've been accustomed to watching, like Jeffrey and Aguilar, but neither one of them has played particularly well. And obviously, Jeffrey's dealing with an ankle injury as well, but Aguilar's had a terrible season based on his past. I think by far the lowest average yard per target for him. Wentz hasn't thrown the ball downfield a lot. They've got the tight ends, Ertz and Goddard. I think the key is the Patriots have to obviously prioritize controlling them and the back Sanders out of the backfield catching the ball. And then defensively, I think if there's one thing, probably the only thing you really can take from Super Bowl 52 and apply to this game, you got to block that defensive line, and in particular, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, the interior pressure from those guys.
Why is that the only
along
thing?
With Because I think that...
Why can't you take the RPOs or the RPOs, Peterson's presence or that whole thing?
Yeah, first of all, this is an interesting point you bring up, Peterson. Frank Reich used to script the plays at the beginning of games for the Eagles. Now, this is somewhat of an indictment of Peterson and Mike Groh, who succeeded Reich as the offensive coordinator. Reich used to script the first 15 plays. That team generally got off to very good starts. This team has been plagued by very poor starts. Five of the first seven games, they've been down by double figures. Against Buffalo 2 games ago, they trailed 7-3 early. They tried to go up-tempo at the start of that game to generate more offense early. They haven't really been able to start well. The Patriots have started well. Granted, it's on the road. But that's an interesting thing, I think, to keep an eye on. Peterson deserves a lot of credit. He's done a fabulous job there. But they haven't been the same since Wright went to Indianapolis, especially as Philadelphia reporters have pointed out in the last week, the beginning of games. I also think it's interesting, and I didn't get this Foxborough today, but Cody Kessler is the Patriots' third quarterback, and he's running the scout team. Cody Kessler was in training camp and was in the preseason. He was going to be the backup to Carson Wentz this year for Philadelphia, but then he got a concussion in his first preseason appearance. Didn't play the rest of preseason, and Philadelphia released him. They signed Josh McCown and brought him in and then reacquired Nate Sudfeld. So I think that gives the Patriots somewhat of an advantage. I also think that, you know, Wentz isn't the same runner that he had been. And you know, that he's mobile, but he's not running like he did in his rookie year pre-knee injury. He was 11-2 to start that season when he hurt his knee. He's been roughly a .500 quarterback ever since, but he's been very good at home. He's a guy that hasn't turned the ball over at home. They haven't turned the ball over much the last 2 games versus the previous couple of losses to Minnesota and Dallas.
We look forward to the call here on 95 The Sports Hub Sunday afternoon.
Me too.
Big fire inside that little man.
It was well, Bob.
There's a big fire inside that little man.
Handle with care whether you're actually on the field or in a radio scooter.
You can take the dog out of the fight. You can't take the fight out of the dog.
Is it one of those 425 starts?
425
here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Soce and Zolak. That Sunday coming up next, we'll take a little Myles Garrett breather. I want to give you a Bruins minute, and we'll follow up on the Astros cheating scandal with that and how that relates to the Red Sox after Murray's update. What?
Oh, he's like a little puppy, Soce, and then you get him angry.
The latest on the Myles Garrett situation right here in the update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is Sean Corrali. You're listening to the home of the Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
McAvoy gets the signal and scoops up the puck. Waltzes to the far circle, now to the slot. Shoots, Montembeau, a stick save, and Florida with a 5-4 shootout come from behind victory of the Boston Bruins here at TD Garden tonight.
This is a team that's closed out games for years, and the last goal to me is, I put everything else aside, disappointing. You know, we get beat one-on-one off the rush. Wingers circling out of the scoring area knowing that the game's on the line. I could sit here and argue that, you know, the guy's holding Bergie's stick, he can't clear the puck at the end, but we didn't, structurally, we were bad on that last goal. That's the disappointing part to me. That's when we're usually rock solid.
So here's my Bruins minute. It's literally going to be a minute because it's all deserved. But that happened. What freaking night was that Panthers debacle? Wednesday?
Tuesday?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday night, I think. Yeah.
Okay, Tuesday night. They haven't played. Okay, so Tuesday night, that Florida loss. 4-goal third period loss. 4 goals. And the erection line, the perfection line is out there in the last minute. And that's what Cassie was talking about with Marchand. We've seen this before. And Pastrnak, who we see all the time, peeling away from the area they should be and allowing the game time goal in the final 2 minutes and losing in the shootout, as you heard there, Judd Surratt, and then Cassie in the post game. They're back at it tonight in Toronto. I want to see how they respond. I want to see tonight. I think it's an interesting little spot for them. As much as a mid-November game can be, where it, you know, points aren't really that crucial for him, but I think the spot is. How are you going to respond? Because that thing was embarrassing.
Yeah, and again, division opponent, a good division opponent.
You know, so, right, I mean, and that goes without saying. Toronto is a team that matters to you, but it's really the spot, you know, well, in conjunction with what happened on Tuesday. Who's in net? Have they said?
No, I got to imagine it's Rask, but it hasn't been confirmed.
Okay, so I'd be curious to see that as well, but I'm just looking for overall team response. A little bit of a marker kind of game. Which way are they headed? What are they made of? Is this really a year where they're going to atone for last year and it's going to motivate them this year and they're going to keep that edge all year? This is a little spot. We'll see if they have it. And so I'm just curious to see it tonight. You'll hear that game tonight on 98.5. The Sports Hub. There's your Bruins Minute. Do you have any follow-ups on the Astros cheating thing, Maz?
Just a lot of people are asking about Alex Cora's involvement in it. You know, is Alex Cora going to get suspended? Obviously, this speaks to the Red Sox angle of the story. I mean, my gut is that Cora is not going to get suspended. Fined, maybe. But suspended, no. I think the guy that's in real danger here is A.J. Hinch.
And why?
Because he's the on-field, you know, manager. And I mean that in the, even in the corporate sense, the manager of the department, if you will, is really what I mean.
But I'm
by
saying,
it.
You know, if Cora and Beltran were the ones who were executing it, why wouldn't they be suspended too? It's really, I mean, I get why the manager's on the hook, obviously. But why wouldn't those two as well?
Because then where does it stop? Like, where does it stop? You know, who else is involved? The players? You suspend the players? Like, how many guys are going to wipe out? So I understand that they're coaches, but to me, that one's about leadership. That is someone who knew about the operation. You know, players are doing it. He didn't discourage it. In fact, he probably encouraged it and, you know, turned a blind eye to the whole thing. To me, you go after the guy at the top.
Well, shouldn't you even go higher then? Because this scheme, it was more than just, you know, they had to get the team's video arm involved. They had to get their IT department online, their baseball ops people, like, This was organizational.
So that one's going to come down to proof.
So they, but a proof. AJ, I don't, as good as Hinch, Cora, and Beltran are, do they have the technical know-how to mount a camera, train the camera, focus the camera, feed the line,
no.
set up the TVs, set up the replay? Like, that takes all that. So the technical department, it has to get the sign-off from somebody. AJ Hinch's not in charge of those people.
Well, so again, but I, you know,
they're in charge of the president of the team, the head of baseball ops. Again, the non-baseball ops president, whatever. All those people are involved to get that thing rigged.
So, look, at the end of the day, I think they all knew about it.
The field people can't rig that stuff up.
Yeah, the organization's going to get fined or draft picks or whatever.
Right, and he couldn't call someone independently. That goes to the general manager or the team president. I mean, if so,
no question.
Like, to me, that's where you go.
The gray area there now is that, remember, they fired their assistant GM during the postseason because of that whole incident with the woman reporter, and I forget his name.
Oh, you know they'll make him a scapegoat.
So, and he's already retained an attorney on this thing. So, like, as you hear that, you say, well, then he knew about it, right? What are you retaining an attorney for? You don't even work for the team anymore. So, like, now you're clamming up? You're absolutely shutting up on this thing? So right. my question is whether or not they can actually come up with hard evidence on that. The organization's going to get hit. I think the big fall guy, though, is going to be Hinch. I do. He was in the dugout.
It should be the team president. It should be the team president, whoever he is, the Sam Kennedy figure in that team. You know, not necessarily the baseball general manager, because, again, I think that spills over to, and, you know, I think the league has to look at that whole team and, you know, that assistant GM assaulting those female reporters, you know, verbally assaulting them, and the whole culture there, that, you know, that starts at the top.
Right, okay, so, but transfer it to the, let's make the easy comparison here. Transfer it to the Patriots. Should Jonathan Kraft have been suspended?
No, because Bill's the Sam Kennedy.
Okay, so
I mean, Bill is the team president.
Okay, so I don't know.
I think Jonathan has another title, but I think Bill is the de facto CEO of the Patriots.
So that's fair. At least with regard to the football part of it. So that's fair. It's probably not apples to apples. If you can tell me that the GM and manager were in cahoots, like.
I don't mean to yell at you, but...
No, I'm not being naive about it. They probably were.
You think AJ Hinch is going to call, like, the, you know, whatever, the Best Buy, the Geek Squad, or, you know, who comes and installs your AV stuff? Like Hinch is going to call the AV store at the mall in the corner and say, I need you to hook up a TV for me? And Hinch is going to say, yeah, I need the camera here in center field, and now you're going to feed a line underneath the stands into this tunnel. We're going to hook up a monitor here, and AJ Hinch has the technical know-how or is going to place that call. That's got to go through all the other channels there in Houston.
It does. Yeah, it does. I mean,
systemic. There's something.
Absolutely
team,
it is.
That team is rotten.
I'm just telling you, the manager's in the dugout during the games. He's in the dugout.
Oh, he's definitely on the hook. I'm just telling you.
And you know what? The other thing is,
they had to bring in the business end of the team to get the technical part paid for and hooked up and all of that. That's what I'm telling you.
But I want someone in uniform, Mike. I want someone in uniform.
Yeah, should go, and the right-hand man should go, too. And yeah, that means Cora and Beltran, who just got the job.
When you say go, so Cora should be suspended?
Yeah, absolutely.
He won't be, though.
Should be.
He won't be. I want someone in uniform. I want someone that's going to affect the in-game operation of the Astros. And again, not that much. It's baseball, right? At the end of the day, you're changing pitches, you're reading the data sheet, and you're moving along. So, but I want someone in uniform who's there when it's going on and who's supposed to be in charge. If I'm the commissioner, that's the guy I'm going after.
Long commercial-free segment and your calls right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Sign stealing is something that has been around in baseball forever, but there is a line that you do not cross, and that line that you do not cross is using technology to go out and do it. If you see the video of Danny Farquhar pitching for the Chicago White Sox, one bang for a slider, two bangs for a changeup, that right there is incredibly damning evidence against the Astros. The penalties are up to a $2 million fine. They can take draft picks away, but this is not like the NCAA where they're going to be vacating championships. MLB's stuck between a rock and a hard place at this point because it does seem so clear what actually happened there. And the fact that the Astros won the championship in 2017, in 2018 got to the American League Championship Series, and in 2019 got to within a game of another championship shows just how hot an issue this is and just how important it is for MLB to actually get it right.
All right, there's Jeff Passan on the situation. To me, my takeaway is the same as yesterday, and I feel more strongly about it by the day. They got to automate the whole thing. It's archaic. It's archaic. It's antiquated. Hand signals. They don't do it in football anymore. They automated that thing. Again, Patriots were stealing defensive hand signals of defensive play calls going into the inside linebacker. So the league said, okay, we'll put the microphone and the speaker in the helmet, and we eliminated that. Boom. One quick little piece of technology, and that whole form of cheating or sign stealing wiped off the board in one fell swoop. Boom. You never even knew it was there. You don't even miss it. And so this whole thing, and it's cute. It's the way it's been in baseball for 100 years. Touch your nose, touch your nipple, clap your hands, plays on, wipe your, wipe your sideburn, whatever, or the catcher, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, blah, blah. I'll just wipe it. Just eliminate the whole thing. Eliminate all of it. If you eliminate the hand signals, then you eliminate teams trying to steal the hand signals. You speed up the game and you eliminate this whole problem. Automate it. Earpieces, whatever. Like I said, the geeks and the nerds are going to have to come up with it on their own because I don't know if earpieces work, but some sort of device that you can just electronically buzz somebody or tap somebody with a little tapper on their belt or a little buzzer on their belt, or maybe it is an earpiece. I don't know. We can send people to Mars, so we can certainly figure out how to tell the catcher and the pitcher that he's throwing a fastball from 60 feet, 6 inches. We can surely figure that out without him having to put the number one between his legs. Okay?
I mean, to me, there were rule changes coming in lots of areas in baseball.
So do this, and then you eliminate the sign stealing, which then eliminates the need to conceal and change your signs, which you understand will speed up the game like you read about. Because it takes that whole, like, the amount of time that is spent changing signs, getting on the same page with signs, because a guy's on second or you think someone's taping your signals, and the spy versus spy stuff is contributing greatly to the game grinding to a halt. Automate it. Nerds, figure it out. Automate it. And just end the whole practice.
Of course, then if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you come to Foxborough, you get the Patriots radio broadcast.
Well, so that does open up another thing, but that's like a whole, but at least the catcher, it's someone sure. In the tech department has to figure out how to encode it, okay? That's a problem that's not taking up my time. Right now in baseball, every time there's a guy on second or any playoff game, every pitch, the catcher with the wristband and the set of signs and running out to the mound and the glove over the face and like, oh my God, enough, throw the ball, right? So just automate the thing and it'll clean it. It'll eliminate the problem. You're like, because everyone now is like, well, don't allow iPads, turn off all electricity, don't let all monitors in the hallway. How about you just automate the signs and you can put TVs wherever the hell you want? Put TVs in the dugout and you don't have to monitor that stuff. Automate the signs.
Oh, it's coming. I think this thing is going to put it over the top. This Astros incident's going to prompt some sort of rule changes.
Okay, we're just giving you a little Garrett breather until we get back to Garrett, which we will. But Mike and Woburn, the other Mike and Woburn, wants a Celtics take. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess it all depends how they do on this West Coast trip, but should the Celtics trade Gordon Hayward since they've been playing lights out both times he gets injured? Will he upset the apple cart when he comes back? What do you think?
Well, no. So the reason to trade him is that he could walk away for nothing at the end of the year and pull a Kyrie Irving on you. And that's sort of the double-edged sword of him playing so well and, you know, popping like he popped, that, you know, most of those guys who can opt out. And the only guys that don't opt out are hurt or, you know, you don't want to opt in. In other words, like that's the catch-22 of that. So the reason to trade him is you get something back instead of losing him for nothing like you did with Kyrie. So it might be the smart thing to do. I just don't think that's on their radar. I think he was a centerpiece free agent. He and the coach love each other. They're looking like the best team in basketball. And not that they are, but they're looking like it. And Gordon Hayward central to that. And so I don't think they want to bail on it. I think they're going to ride it out with Kyrie. And if they lose him for nothing, they lose him for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if he has a good year, he'll opt out. But I don't think they'll move him. Honestly, if he has a good year,
ride it out and let's see how far you can go.
Yeah, I think that they'd be inclined to do that. Jimmy thinks they might trade him.
I mean,
Jimmy Stewart. I think they end up keeping him and he plays the year out and then you see whether he wants to go to Miami or stay in Boston.
I'd have to know what you're getting back, but I don't think you're getting like a lottery pick, because why would a lottery team trade for Gordon Hayward? It means like they're the 27th team in the league.
Correct.
And they don't need Gordon Hayward. And they're and he's a rental. So the only teams that would make sense for, if you're renting them for a playoff drive, what would they give you? Like, I mean,
unless they have someone else's pick, right?
Like, sure.
Right, like
sure.
A Brooklyn scenario with the Celtics. But just play it out the way you were just talking about right now. The Celtics had this very scenario from the other side when Al Horford was with Atlanta. Horford was going to be a free agent. They could have traded for him. They said, why should we do that when we'll just wait and sign him in 2 months?
Right.
And that's what they did. So, like, you know, I think he's going to be a hard guy to move for that reason. Like, anybody that now, if he's a piece that can put a team over the top, maybe it's a little different. Al Horford wasn't going to put the Celtics over the top, so they waited it out. But, you know, Hayward to me, rather, is going to be that one. I think he's going to opt out. I'm giving you my opinion on that, okay?
What if he comes back and sucks and is damaged goods?
He'll stay.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that's the catch 22 with Gordon Hayward. The better he is, the more likely he is to opt out.
Yeah, and when I say opt out, I mean if he plays well. If he plays poorly, he'll stay.
Okay, back on the Garrett situation. I guess I have to make a correction, and that leads to the email of the day.
It's the Moncast email of the day!
Dear Felger, I effing hate you. And I think Maz is a douche.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Mimecast is the official cyber resilience email provider of the New England Patriots. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Visit them today. There's actually multiple emails, and it spins off me saying all day that they have handed down Myles Garrett the longest suspension in the history of the NFL. Heard that today on ESPN. They were saying that the previous high was Albert Haynesworth for stomping that player. Tennessee Dallas, I think it was, several years ago. He got 5, and Myles Garrett's going to get at least 6. And so I thought I heard them saying, so I've been saying all day, the longest suspension in NFL history. What more do you want? What more do you want than the longest suspension in NFL history? It's precedent setting. Matt writes in, correction, please stop saying Garrett got the longest suspension in the history of the game. Vontaze Burfict in week 1 or 2 this year got banned the entire season. So it's almost twice the suspension Garrett got. Carey, subject line, NFL suspension. Perfect longest suspension, Felger, 12 games this year. Another senior moment by you. Stop saying it. Rob writes in, longest suspension in the history of the league, Felger. Vontaze Burfict got suspended in week 5 for the remainder of the season. I'm wondering why you keep saying longest suspension in the history of the league. Then he provides the link. Am I wrong, Rob? Okay, I got it. Vontaze Burfict. I didn't realize that. I would just say maybe, and again, because I'm just regurgitating what I thought I heard this morning, maybe I misheard it. The Vontaze Burfict thing to me feels like an accumulation. I mean,
It's also a set number. You're technically not wrong. It's indefinite. This could go into next year. You could get suspended 10 games into 2020.
But Vontaze Burfict got, his latest thing was he speared a guy.
Yeah.
Led with the head.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he got 12 games for that singularly. I think he got 12 games because he's been suspended, whatever.
Yeah, well, so I was just going to say he had a history.
Yes, X amount of
repeat
times.
Repeat offender.
And they probably told him the next time you're done for the year. You're like, you're on double secret probation. And so, you know, I think the Miles Jarrett thing last night was worse than the Vontaze Burfict. And the Vontaze Burfict thing was brutal. I remember the hit.
Yeah, bad.
And they might have even been in London or somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he...
it was Jack Doyle, the tight end, wasn't it?
Just completely led with the head and lit him up and headshot and all of that. But I don't think you get suspended 12 games if that's your first offense or whatever. I think that was an accumulation thing for him.
I mean, I think it was totally that. Again, he had a history. It's an accumulation of things. They finally said, you're cooked. That's it. But if we're talking about a single incident, or more specifically, first incident, there's been nothing like it.
The one they were comparing to this morning is Haynesworth. So that's just what I've been going off of. So, you know, so maybe that's right. Maybe that's wrong. I don't know. But as usual, if nothing else, the Felger and Maz strives for fairness and accuracy. Okay. And there's a little taste of it. Chris Gasper is supposed to be by anytime, but you know him. There's always there he is. They pulled him out of the Nordstrom rack. Okay, so he's here. He'll be in studio coming your way in 90 seconds. No commercials. And then we got Gasper.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.